Good, Mike.
Zach, good afternoon, man. How's it been going? I just caught up with the last podcast guest. How's it been going?
Yeah, it's been going good, dude. I've been really busy, but I've really been in my free time. I've been working on this side project, getting an ignition. This is like deja vu. Getting an ignition system kind of connected up to Aviva Insight, because I've really been liking a lot of the updates that have been coming on that platform, and I've been wanting to actually just test it out for myself in a real world application, so I can just share my experiences better.
That's awesome, man. You know me, man. I'm ready when you are. Let's get it going.
I just oh, man, if I don't do it before this road trip starts, like, it's not getting. Yeah, and my 45-day free trial, which is really cool that Aviva Insight does that. What is it? Is it still online.wonderware.com?
Online.wonderware.com. Yeah, that's how you can sign up for a free cloud historian for
45-day free trial. Link in the description. Check it out, guys. No, but seriously, like, the insight or the efficiency model is really, I think, I like that it's a cloud historian. I like that it's software as a service, Aviva Flex, right? These are things that I like about it. But what I really like is the OEE and efficiency aspect of it, that it's just, you know, I think once you get an operational user. So there's two different users. If you get the operational user, you can have access to the full MES.
Yeah, exactly. OEE model. Exactly. Aviva Insight is our cloud historian. And so by default, you get some standard users, and that gives you the ability to send your process data up to the cloud, visualize it really easily, naturally in a dashboard environment, as well as visualize it on an app that you can download on your phone. I've got some really neat stories how customers are starting to take advantage of that and some of the benefits they've gotten. But essentially, with a standard user, you get, you know, that process data, and then in the forms of trends and graphs and charts. And then you also have the ability to do what's called equipment states or equipment efficiency. And so that'll let you assign equipment states to your equipment. So is it running? Is it not running? If it's not running, you know, why is it not running? Is it planned or unplanned downtime? If it's unplanned downtime, are you able to then, through automation, figure out why the equipment stopped? Or if you don't have that in automation, the why, then you can have the operator very simply select from a list of reasons why the equipment's not running. And so it's really best of both worlds, tying in both automated data sources as well as, you know, the human input to get, you know, the full history and record of, you know, what were the reasons and durations for equipment downtime.
Yeah.
And then with the, like I said, the operational user, you get to do actual OEE calculations against production counts. So that's more geared towards manufacturing and packaging environments, where you've got different products and SKUs that have different target run rates, and the different work orders might have different, numbers you need to reach in order to fulfill that work order. So you can see your production progress. You know, am I running at the rate that I'm that my goal is targeted towards? Am I running behind schedule?
Right. So to summarize, you can get a line or a piece of equipment on OEE just with the app, and you can have the operator select the state of the machine and select the downtime reason, or you can have that done via automation.
That's right.
I think that what I might end up doing is, rather than using the Insight Data Publisher, I might just end up writing a small script that publishes to the REST endpoint for this, using the API, publishing the state of the machine to the REST endpoint of Aviva Insight. And then from there, just using the efficiency model, being able to track OEE and uptime and performance, and, you know, obviously maybe some of the KPIs as well too. But that's what we did a year ago when we connected, you know, Ignition to Aviva Online using the MQTT.
Right.
why do you think that, like, what was the reaction to that video?
I just thought it was cool. I love to see I love to see the marriage of technologies. You know, there's no one single solution out there that's going to solve, you know, all customers' needs. And so I love just taking whatever existing infrastructure, you know, you have in place, and then filling in those gaps, providing that added value, you know, to maybe, you know, get you that additional, you know, piece of information in an accessible way that really makes a difference in improving your, you know, operational efficiency. So yeah, I thought it was It's fun. Yeah, you surprised me, although I didn't know I was being recorded that during that.
I have a tendency to do that. We are live right now, if you didn't know.
Yeah, no, I know. You gave it a heads up this time.
Okay. Sorry. I don't really distinguish between like what's being recorded and what's just real life, because to me it's just it's best when it's the same. When someone like tries to, you know, change who they are, or like they try to, like they get all nervous. I understand why they do that, but for me, I've gotten past that point, and so a lot of times, you know, maybe you wouldn't have been as comfortable. It wouldn't have come off as natural if I told you, hey, you know, we're recording this, post it to my YouTube channel. It might get, you know, a couple hundred views. You might get 1,000. I don't know.
Right.
Let me share this. So you guys know I'm not actually. Hold on. Let me share my screen here. I'm not actually joking when I say I'm actually demoing Aviva Insight. So it was actually at the Wonderware Southern California Road Tour, the Wonderware California Road Tour, that I actually had that insight that, you know, not every company is going to have every product for every solution, right? And so, you know, my whole journey has been growing up in a family with a system integration. My dad worked for Wonderware, you know, around the turn of the 2000s.
My very first customer I talked to about Wonderware was Emery Scriven. Yep. And then of course I worked with your mom as well, Sonia. So, and it's good to see, the Scriven Jr., you know, in the mix now too. So
to put this data in context, this is actually a project I'm working on. We have, like 30 different machines out in, you know, fields of West Texas doing water treatment. And I'm just wanting to write a simple script that I can just see, all right, over the last 24 hours, you know, how much has this machine been producing? Has it been down? So, you know, this is stuff that obviously can be done in any platform, Wonderware, Ignition, Rockwell, but to have it pre-built like this, I think is really game changing. And to have it basically no upfront cost, right? You have a subscription model. That's why I'm so excited about it. And that's why I'm actually testing it. If not to convert what this Ignition Edge and Ignition Central customer into a you know, InTouch Edge and InTouch Central customer, but just to show, like you said, these technologies can marry together, which brings up the point, like it would be really cool if this product implemented MQTT with SparkPlug B specification. That would make this integration just be so much easier, because then I could just point Ignition to, you know, the Aviva Insight MQTT broker, and it will understand that SparkPlug B payload, which will have all the metadata, you know, the ask, like the tag path, which has the hierarchy of the asset model, right? Like enterprise, area, line, machine.
Definitely, it's coming. It's on the roadmap. Their development is that is on the to-do list. It's up there. We keep kicking it up higher and higher to the top.
John Krajewski said at this Aviva. It was Wonderware West, which, by the way, Wonderware West is not technically a competitor for you guys, because you guys are geographically separated, or?
Right. Yeah. We have different territories. Yep.
What if there was a client, though, that, let's say you, Mike Labaton, had the specific experience that a particular client that Wonderware West had that geographical area over, that you were really the best resource? What, like, is there any type of collaboration?
There's definitely some collaboration, cross-pollination. I mean, next week I'm going to the System Consultant Symposium in Colorado, and that's all of the solution architects, product specialists for all the distributors, you know, that do what I do for other distributors. So we all get together, collaborate, share success stories, you know, share tips and tricks and, you know, best practices. So, you know, we're a pretty tight community. You know, we all know each other, you know, personally and professionally. So, you know, we do a lot of collaboration.
If you're actually going to the plant, obviously it makes sense geographically, whoever's close goes to the plant. But obviously in this digital world, to me, it makes more sense not to limit geographically, but to open possibilities based upon relationships or both based upon synergies, right? So like maybe it's a plant in Atlanta, or maybe there's someone from, you know, Wonderware Northeast that...
Yeah, no, absolutely. That happens today for sure. I mean, especially these days, you know, most companies aren't just a single location. You know, they've got locations, you know, spread throughout the country. So they're gonna have plants and offices in more than one territory. So
are you guys leaning like Wonderware California? Are you guys leaning I know you guys are, I guess, part of E&M Electric Machinery.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've been around since 1955. Okay. Yeah.
So the Wonderwear California brand, would you consider that a brand that is, I guess, merging closer towards Aviva or merging further away towards being agnostic solutions provider?
Yeah, no, it's a good, interesting question. You know, when I first started, we weren't actually called Wonderwear California. We weren't even called Wonderwear NorCal yet. We were still just called E&M. Yeah, exactly. So we went to NorCal, and then, you know, we got the entire state in terms of the territory. So Wonderwear California, and yeah. So now it's you know, what's the next name? Are we going to be Aviva, you know, California? You know, that's kind of up in the air right now. But
Wonderwear South Africa, they kind of went more the agnostic route, and now they're IS cubed industry software solutions and support. I think even Wonderwear Midwest, or there's another one that they're another like SSS or.
Yep. Yeah. ISS up north in Oregon and Washington, ISS. Mm-hmm. Industrial software solutions.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see your guys going more towards like Aviva California or ISS?
I see us more under the Aviva umbrella for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is just a great, it's a great community and just great, you know, investment in the technology and where it's going. So it's a really bright roadmap. So
I've really been excited about all the things that have been coming. I love the Aviva World conferences. Really, I do. You know, maybe not quite as good as Exchange in South Africa. I think that is the conference to be. As part of this industry conferences, like they set the bar, just performances, like chefs and dinners and just everything is just really thought about. Like even the resort that you stay at, like they have little packages waiting for you in your room.
Nice.
You know, your name is printed on the box that has your swag kit with your shirt and your, you know, it's like really, really legit. But, you know, speaking of conferences,
that's cool.
I wouldn't discount Wonderwear Open House in October.
Not sure if it's me or you, but you're kind of freezing up right now.
Give me a second here. It's probably me. Yeah.
Okay. Seems to be back now.
Okay. Sorry.
Don't forget, you know, of course the Aviva, you know, World Conference is in Florida, November 11th, but October 1st and 2nd, we're going to Wonderwear headquarters. We're opening up the doors to Wonderwear headquarters, Aviva, Wonderwear headquarter development, in Lake Forest, Orange County, California here. So it's going to be an awesome event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm going to, in Irvine or in Lake Forest, that's a Wonderwear California event, right? Even though it's Aviva headquarters.
Okay. Exactly.
So
that's right.
I'm signed up for that. I was originally signed up for Aviva World North America in Orlando, but the press media badges were apparently sold out. So I've been told that I'm not able to go. I'm still really hoping that we might be able to make that work. It does also
see what I can do about that.
I don't know if you heard, but it also kind of overlaps the dates of Rockwell Automation Fair. So I was like, why not I just go one day to Rockwell Automation Fair, then fly from Chicago to Orlando, do Aviva World, and just help that collaboration and cross-pollination. You know, I think my value I bring is like I'm agnostic, right? So like when I say something about Aviva, people don't question whether or not it's for, you know, like, you guys are paying me or whatever.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, if you could help that out, that would be cool. But I know
I'll take whatever. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, see what I can do. So, anytime.
Where did my Zoom window go? I can't see you now. Oh, there we are. Okay. So what are you most interested in?
Wait, professionally?
No limits.
No limits. I'm a big family guy. You know, I've got some little ones at home, so I'm coaching soccer for my youngest right now, which is a lot of fun. He's just started kindergarten, and so it's just fun seeing the growth and the maturity and the, you know, what they're interested in and nurturing that. So that's a lot of fun.
Are you at a home office right now, or are you at the San Francisco?
I'm in the Healdsburg office, which is close to the home office. Yeah.
Healdsburg. Yeah. That's further south.
It's 60 miles north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. But you've been in the, when I was at the, I think it was InTouch, it was either System Platform or like InTouch 2, InTouch with Orchestra Graphics class in 2012, you were there.
Yep.
And I think that was the first time.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Nope.
You know, my age is deceiving. Yep. Here we are talking about our, you know, 7-year history.
I know. Yep. Yeah, but no, professionally, we talked about Aviva Insight, the cloud integration. What's been really cool is just seeing the market really mature to really adopting that technology, because it's not a new technology. We've had it for 5, 6, maybe more years. And over the past, year and a half, 2 years, it just seems to be a natural evolution for customers nowadays. Now, I was just visiting a customer recently, and they've got their ERP system in the cloud, right? It's in Azure. And they're like, how do we get our real-time inventory data, into Navision, and Navision's in Azure. It's like, okay, well, this is really simple. You've already got, InTouch, you've already got Historian. We can send that data to Azure, no problem, and give you our REST API to pull directly from that. And they've just, like, that's perfect. It's just so natural.
API was the one thing that I really liked about the Aviva mm-hmm. Insight asset model. Or just the Historian in general, is that you can query any way you want to query that data from a REST endpoint.
Yeah.
You can get machines, mm-hmm. you can get states, you can get history by line, by tag, by like just hundreds of API calls.
Yeah, I mean, and this is literally going to free up somebody, to do something else with their time, where, previously every 15 minutes they were having to write down, real-time information from the HMI and put it into Navision, right? So it was a completely manual process, which, that's how we've always done things, right? We've done it manually. We've done it on paper, right? It's worked, right? I mean,
is the vision of the future that I see, the automated mm-hmm. version of the future, where more people are able to do creative jobs that they love, right?
So mm-hmm. for me,
it's being on video, it's traveling, it's talking to people, right? I'm always just trying to embody that digital transformation of self. And how that connects to industry transformation. But that's what it's all about. It's enabling people to do more things that they're more passionate about, that they're better at, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Less prone to error and things.
Mm-hmm.
Maniacal tasks. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a question.
Yep.
So Zach Scriven 2012 at that InTouch class versus Zach Scriven today. What are the biggest differences?
There was no digital twin of Zach Scriven back then, right? Not that I recall.
Right.
If we just think about how fast technology is moving these days, and how fast we can get content media out there, to customers, consumers, to our partners. It's just amazing. I see you every day, right, on LinkedIn, creating content, providing content, contributing to, not just your local market, right, but to an international audience. So, that's pretty exciting. I don't know anybody that's really doing that at the level you are.
Convenient for me, because then I get to travel and do what I love. But
that's
my whole message, is that you can find a, job or career that is combined with your passion. And the industrial automation enables that surplus to be able to do that. Naveel Ravikant, or Naveel, is that almost like Naveel? He's on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's a tech investor, but he also has like some philosophy type things. And he did this tweet storm, like 37 tweets in a row that like all connected, that was about like how to generate and build wealth without getting lucky. And mm-hmm. one thing that he said was, and now I'm forgetting it as I'm explaining the story. Most diseases today are diseases mm-hmm. of abundance, not mm-hmm. diseases of, scarcity, right? So back in the day, right, if you got a piece of information, or you got some food, or, you heard a piece, anything that you got was like, oh, wow, that's amazing, right? Like we stumbled across some new information, right? Well, now, information was scarce. Well, now everything is abundant, right? Food, you go to the store, Like, mm-hmm. when you never go to the store and have the shelves not have food on it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's not a problem for us, right? Or you never go to the right. internet and not have new feed of content or YouTube videos to watch, right? So it's like, now our challenge as humans is to restrict what we consume and, you know, keep our mental health in check, keep our vision mm-hmm. straight, not get distracted, right? That's our challenge today. Whereas before, it was like anything we could get our hands on, that's what we were evolved and adapted to do. And so now that we have it, it's like we get sucked into that trap, like just scrolling on social media all day, right? I mean, it's real. But that thing, the point, you know, novel Robert Kant said was like, most diseases today are diseases of abundance. Look at diabetes, right? Abundance of sugar, right? If we got sugar back in the day, it was like, oh my gosh, right? We found an orange that wasn't spoiled. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's what enables us to follow our passion, because we have mm-hmm. that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at international flights. You get to the other side of the world for like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
like, why are we not taking advantage of this opportunity? You know, I mean, we are, right? I am, at least.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it'd be cool. You're going to be in Colorado next week?
Yeah, I'll be in Colorado next week for training, yeah. Yep. Looking forward to it.
Is that thing? Is it like Aviva organized, or is it?
It is. Yeah. It's an Aviva event. Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
It's put on by the technical system consultant group. Yeah.
Dude, I'm really bummed I'm not going to Singapore for Aviva World Summit, because I'm doing the road trip next month, and I'm actually.
That's gonna be cool though.
Yeah, it was a hard decision to make, but September 19th, I'm actually speaking at the largest LinkedIn meetup in the world, LinkedIn Global. There's going to be like 5,000 people there.
And, no kidding.
Yeah, they're bringing me in as a VIP influencer, putting me up in a hotel. I'm speaking, and I even have a code that people can get like a discount if they sign up for the code in the link in the description, but... it's really cool. Like, so I'm getting to do that. So like, all right, you know, I can go to Singapore another time, or, you know, Aviva World Summit will probably be at somewhere really sick in 2020.
Yeah.
I don't know. As far as digital.
What are we going to do when you come to San Francisco though? That's what I want to know.
No, I want to come by. What are we going to do? I want to come by the Wonderware office possibly. On Monday, the 2nd, the idea is to have a 12-to-1 just public meetup. So anyone who wants to come can go to that, because there's a lot of people in San Francisco that I know that want to meet up. So I just have to centralize it like that. But either before or after, I basically have all day and Monday. I was possibly meeting up with Chris Lukey, because that's where he's based out of in San Francisco, but he may or may not have time to meet. But I don't know. I think there's a Starbucks like walking distance from your guys' office too.
Do you want to meet any customers? Who do you want to interview, or who do you want to talk with?
Yeah. So I'm definitely talking to a lot of end users. As far as scheduling goes, I don't know if I'm able to really take on any more, but that's always something that we can look at doing later. But, it's going to seem really silly. One of the end users that I was going to go look at was actually the Jelly Belly factory, because that's really simple for me, knowing that it's a public open tour. They encourage the use of video.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's really cool for my daughter, because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
So like, while I have the interview content with maybe a professional like yourself or someone in that area, maybe it's at the link, just at the little meetup that I do, and we just do a quick little video, right? That has certain element of value to it, but then the other story beneath the story is me taking my family on this journey, showing my daughter different areas of the United States, whether that's Hoover Dam or the Jelly Belly factory.
It's that's a good call.
Really silly again, the Coca-Cola factory. I don't think it's silly though.
It's a really fun tour. If you haven't done it, I've done it. It's a lot of fun.
In Atlanta,
she'll love
they
it.
Even show. Actually, I there was an old one before too, where like I went like almost a decade ago, where they actually had soda streams, like different sodas from all around the world, like shoot in the air and land in your cup. And when I went again like a couple years ago, it was like just soda like fountains, and they still had a lot of sodas from around the world, but it wasn't that same shooting thing. I'm like, what happened? And they're like, oh, like we moved facilities, and you know, people ask us about that, but that was at the old facility. But they actually have a from beginning to end live. It's like actually producing bottles, mini scale yep. plant example at that.
Okay.
So they have the water the RO, the water treatment, the bottling, the packaging. So I can actually see the entire process from start to end. And Zoe, like it has the attention span for Zoe, right? So she could see it. I can also do my B-roll and shoot, and then we could taste soda and just have fun without like, I don't know. I mean, obviously a manufacturing bottling plant like in full scale would be legit, but maybe it might be a little bit boring for Zoe, you know?
So I got a are you smarter than a fifth grader question for you?
Yeah, yeah.
I took my fifth grader's class to the local water treatment plant. And before we did it, I did a presentation for the class on what is SCADA, right? And, you know, I'm just going about the presentation and ask if there's any questions. And one of the fifth grader, she asks, why do they call it a plant?
That's a really good question.
Not me. It's a really good question. I mean, I did a little bit of research afterwards, and, you know, what I found was that, you know, before there were just factories, right, where they just assembled things, right? But then once with the advent of actually, like, doing chemical processing, like oil processing, they coined the term plant because a plant goes through a process. It metamorphosis, right?
Right.
It changes. It's not just assembled, right?
I mean, it makes sense. It's like an actual plant. It just starts to grow. It just starts producing.
Yeah.
Producing right. a byproduct.
Well, I was just, you know, trying to put myself in the student's shoes, you know. She's hearing this word plant. She's, what is, you know, does all the water go into a plant? It's filtered through a physical plant? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would have never thought of that. We just, being in industry, you're like, oh, we're going to go to the chemical plant, or we're going to go to the...
Yep. We've said it a million times. Never second guessed it.
Interesting. That's a really good question. So, industry 4.0 type questions. What are you looking to learn from the documentary?
I'd just loving to hear what people are looking for, right? I mean, that's my favorite part is solving problems, right? And hearing, you know, what kind of other challenges people are having at the business level, right? In terms of, you know, getting access to real-time information, right? And that's always just the fun part about it for me is understanding, you know, what is that specific customer's need, right? What information, if they had it, would make their job, you know, a lot easier, make it more efficient, make them, you know, more successful, more profitable, like you said, free up people to do, you know, more meaningful tasks. And so that's the part I love about, you know, working in this industry is talking to customers, getting to find out what makes them tick and trying to help, you know, solve those problems, fill those gaps and get them the information they need, you know, in a way that's helpful.
Parting. Okay. That's definitely what it's going to all be about. Parting question. And along the way, if you follow the hashtag Industry4Roadtrip, you know, feel free to engage, ask questions, and that'll essentially become part of it. But parting question, most memorable memory of Emery, good or bad, while working at Wonderware?
Right. So funny thing. So I just started. I was only a couple weeks in, and I actually started in inside sales. So this is back in 2006, and I fielded a question that he had, and when I, you know, attempted to answer, and I answered enough to where he understood, you know, the answer, but he explained it more articulately, and he goes, yeah, I used to work for Wonderware. I just started laughing. I was like, here I am 2 weeks, you know, I can barely spell Wonderware into the job, and I'm trying to explain something, you know, to a guy who actually used to work for Wonderware, and I actually came across enough to where he understood, you know, my answer.
That probably says a lot about, you know. I mean, you're still working there today, so you must be doing something
else. Yeah, I mean, the more you know, what I learned from it is, you know, you're going to make mistakes along the way, right? But as long as you're trying, right? And you're making an effort to provide, you know, an answer and you know, whether it's you got to follow up with the complete answer or have a conversation with the customer to try to work it out together, you know, people aren't as judgmental as you sometimes, you know, would think they are, you know, they're, if you're trying to help them, they're going to, they're going to try to help you out too.
All right. Low key, Easter egg for anyone listening to the podcast. Emery might be making an appearance in the documentary. It might be kind of a bit of a surprise, but we'll see. It might be, he's in kind of the Yosemite Valley area, right? In the woods. And so I might be making a stop there before I go. It's interesting. They actually have a little water system. It's like completely like dumb. Well, it's not completely dumb. They have like little motor savers that kick the motor on and off, but like, I think it'd be really cool to just look at that as a water system, get an interview with my own dad and my own
that would be cool
source of where I came from.
That would be cool.
Right on, man. So
thanks for having me, Zach. Appreciate it.
Peace out, Mike.
Take care, man.
Thank you for joining. Bye.